Activity plays a big role in occupational therapy. As the country and the state's population ages, the need for occupational therapy is expected to rise. This week, we continue our exploration of aging and health with Candy Salter. She is an assistant professor and academic fieldwork coordinator for the University of Arkansas and UAMS Occupational Therapy Doctoral Program. She says she became acquainted with occupational therapy as a 13-year-old when her great-grandparents were involved in a motor vehicle collision, and she observed an occupational therapist work with her great-grandfather. She says occupational therapy assists people experiencing disruptions in their lives.
Easiest, quickest way I can explain it is we help individuals whose lives have had some disruption, whether it be from a medical condition, mental health condition, normal aging process, anything that disrupts their life. And we help them do the things they want to do, need to do, and are expected to do in their life. So it's very broad.
So if I've had a health disruption and I like to walk around the neighborhood, after breakfast, we want to get back to the point where hopefully I can if
yes.
I'm unable.
Yes. So occupational therapist would come in and assess the situation, see what's keeping you from being able to walk your dog or walk around the neighborhood or whatever it is that you want to do. And we would help to employ tools or strategies to meet that goal.
There's a relationship here then between mental healing as well as physical healing, right? Because if there are a lot of things that I like to do that I can't, that is going to increase, I would imagine, the stress on my life.
Physical health has implications for mental health. Mental health has implications for physical health. So occupational therapists are uniquely trained to address both the physical and mental pieces of the human being, as well as the human spirit.
So when you say uniquely trained, does that mean as you're getting studying occupational therapy, working towards that degree, it's anatomy, it's psychology, it's physiology?
Yes, all of the above. So in addition to that as well, it's environment and context training. So we look at the human being as a person and all the parts that make it up. So the anatomy, physiology, neurology, psychology, and all those pieces. Spirituality is a big piece too. But then we look at how that human being interacts with the environments that they're in and the context of that environment. So the people surrounding them, their support systems or lack of support systems, and everything, time of day, anything that you can put into a contextual factor, we look at and assess, and we are trained to do that in our degree programs.
So, I mean, this is a firm grasp of the obvious, but then every case is different. You're taking all those elements into whomever has been hurt.
Which is what makes it so much fun to be an occupational therapist, because you look at an individual as every time you meet someone, it's a brand new beginning. It's a brand new start, and you have to peel away the layers of the onion, so to say, to get to know what really makes up that person and who they are. How are they feeling about what's going on in their life? How do others feel about that? And how does that interaction either impair or provide them with abilities to do the things they want to do, need to do, and are expected to do?
This is not a brand new concept of medicine, is it?
No.
I mean, it's been around for a while.
It's been around for occupational therapy specifically over 100 years. Our National American Occupational Therapy Association was founded in 1917. And prior to that, occupational therapy was being developed for 50 to 100 years or longer through the moral health or moral initiatives that were happening in the 1900s, that we didn't just institutionalize people. We found that if we give them meaning and purpose, they can be productive members of society and they don't have to be institutionalized. Nurses, a psychologist, and two architects actually helped to found our profession.
The example you gave that first introduced you to occupational therapy was a tragedy involving your great-grandparents. As all of us age, it may not be something that is as sudden or as perhaps violent. Joints age, arthritis can be a problem, vision, things like that. Mm-hmm. Occupational therapy is important for anyone who's been in an accident and had an interruption in their lifestyle, but imagine it's more important for those of us as we age.
Yes, and as we age, occupational therapy can really play a role in what we call productive aging. We want individuals to promote their ability to participate in the activities that they do, despite maybe joint pains or decreased vision or whatever the normal aging process is putting upon the person. So we want to look at the individual specifically, look at the whole person and their environment and see how we can let them have good meaning and quality of life while they're able. And we can extend that period of ability or capability over time if we're brought into the equation and scenario as a healthcare provider.
What is the path to follow if someone believes they're eligible for occupational therapy or know someone who is that would benefit from occupational therapy?
First thing they would need to do is talk to their physician and get a referral. And any number of clinics in the area, outpatient clinics, community-based intervention, there's lots of options in Northwest Arkansas. Unfortunately, most of them are in the more populated areas. It's our rural communities that are really suffering right now, which is one of the reasons we've started the occupational therapy doctoral program at University of Arkansas and University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences.
We don't have enough occupational therapists, I imagine, especially for an aging poorer state.
Correct. The needs assessment that was done for our program identified over 400 potential job openings for occupational therapists in this region, and it does not include the entire state.
For this region?
For this region.
Wow. We're living longer. I would imagine that too will add to possibilities for a career in occupational therapy.
Absolutely. With the aging population growing significantly, with the desire of the baby boomers to remain active longer and to have higher quality of life, there's a significant growing need for occupational therapy.
If someone is interested, what would you advise to a person who's thinking that this might be the right avenue to go down as an occupational therapist?
I think the first thing to do is talk to an occupational therapist. Do some job shadowing. See if that's something that you're really interested in. What we're finding, interestingly, is a lot of people who are interested in our program, it's second or third career. So they're not traditional students. They've been a nurse or a teacher or a social worker, and they want to be able to do a little bit more.
Teacher or social worker. Nurse makes sense to me because you're moving along in the health field, mm-hmm. but teacher or social worker. I mean, I understand that on one side, but I would think that some teachers, social workers, or others would be intimidated that I don't have a medical background.
Possibly. I think because occupational therapy is a unique balance of art and science, we attract people from all different fields or all different baccalaureate degree levels into our field. We don't have one pathway, and we don't want one pathway into our profession. The more diverse backgrounds we have in our cohorts or groups of students, the more enriched their learning is and the better impact occupational therapy can have on the community because we bring different perspectives.
All right, hypothetical. Let's say I go skiing and I don't know what I'm doing and I wipe out and I really do some damage to a knee and is now altering my mobility and my life. I come to see you.
Yes.
An occupational therapist. Walk me through the first part of that, how you glean information about me and what I do then to get much more back into the routine I want to.
So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create what's called an occupational profile. I'm going to ask you what it is that you do each day. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to give me a story about what you've done since you were injured. But then I'm going to ask further and see what you did prior to your injury. And then I'm going to get your goals, figure out what do you want to do? What do you need to do? And what are you expected to do? And we're going to go from there. It's usually I spend about 20 minutes just interviewing and talking to someone and just figuring out who is this person? What makes them tick? What motivates them? What do they like? What do they enjoy doing? And who's their support system? And looking at that balance of this physical injury and how it has impacted their overall wellness in terms of mental health. Do they have some depression due to it? Is there anxiety about walking? And we're going to learn more about that pretty quickly within the occupational profile.
I guess one of the things, sometimes you can't control if you ski into a tree or that you're involved in an accident. But one thing that can help you age better is staying active and being mobile.
Correct. So we also look at your habits and routines. So what are your habits and routines for being mobile? We could call it exercise. Mm. We can call it, leisurely walking, whatever you categorize it as. What are your healthy habits and routines that promote overall health and well-being, physical and mental and emotional? I think it's important to speak with your physician about occupational therapy services before you are introduced to an occupational therapist in the hospital. because occupational therapists can intervene early in process, potentially at even the site of your primary care physician, and begin to promote health and well-being from the beginning of an issue versus when it is more chronic or ongoing and there's more damage that's been done physically, mentally, or emotionally.
You were introduced to this at a very early age, early in your teenage years, but I wonder, as you've gone through this, have your attitudes towards health or relationships to your fellow human beings changed because of your career?
I think my career was a really good fit for me as a human being. I have always been one that wanted to give back, in particular to Northwest Arkansas. Rogers is my home. I was born and raised, and I'm raising my family there. And throughout my schooling and my experience, I've done most of my work here in Northwest Arkansas because I wanted to give back to the health and well-being of the community that raised me and that made me who I am today.
Candy Salter is an associate professor and academic fieldwork coordinator for the University of Arkansas and UAMS Occupational Therapy Doctoral Program. Our conversation is part of an ongoing series of discussions about age and health in coordination with UAMS. This is Ozarks at Large.